welcome to this Monday edition of Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. I spoke this weekend at the Converse Church of Christ, and a woman came up to me and she said, "I've never heard of you or your radio station, but I really liked what you said today. I'm going to start listening." So to that woman who is listening for the first time today, and to others who may be tuned in for the very first time, welcome. As we say, give us a week. We think it'll make a difference in your life. This Wednesday, homicide detective and former atheist Jim Warner Wallace recounts how he applied his skills as an expert detective to the assertions of the New Testament and came to the startling realization that the case for Christianity was as convincing as any case he'd ever worked on, which is why he is a former atheist. For a rundown of the entire week's list of topics and guests, visit the Mid-Morning Schedule page. It's your giving that enables WBCL to be there for you, and a special thanks to Hope Alive Counseling of Defiance, providing pastoral counseling to the people of Northwest Ohio since 1989. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. Cheap is a word that gets a bum rap. It has several meanings. Purchasable below the going price or real value, obtainable at a low price, inferior quality, or gained or done with little effort. For Steve and Annette Economides, being known as America's cheapest family embraces those first two meanings of cheap, purchasing things of value below the going price and obtaining things at a low price. Plus, I think their own contribution to the meaning of cheap, a joyous, shrewd, dedicated stewardship. On a recent Mid-Morning, the couple shared ideas from their newest book, The Money Smart Family System. They're back today with the book that started it all, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family, published by Thomas Nelson. Learn more about the Economides, their books, get free resources, and a warehouse of other money-saving resources as a member on their website, moneysmartfamily.com. We are giving away one copy of Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Head to WBCL.org, click on Programs, and then Mid-Morning. You have the hour to register, and we'll notify the winner by 4 o'clock today via email. Steve and Annette Economides, welcome back to Mid-Morning.
Hi, Lynn. Glad to be here.
Good morning, Lynn.
Annette, you sound so much better. The last time you were getting over a horrible cold and had very little voice, so this is what the real Annette sounds like.
It sure is.
Well, for those not familiar with your family's story, give us the Cliff Notes version of how the Economides became America's cheapest family.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, we got married in 1982, and at that time, Steve was earning $6.50 an hour. That's right. I'm mixing up yearly wage with hourly wage. That doesn't work well. And I wanted to stay home and learn how to keep a home. And so we decided we were going to do that. We went through a marriage prep class, and one of the weeks covered finances. And we were introduced to principles that neither of us had grown up with. We grew up in average middle-class families. Our parents shopped at the JCPenney's bargain basement and that sort of thing, but not really black belt frugal living. Mm-hmm. So we decided, you know, this is really good material. It was based on Larry Burkett's ministry, Christian Financial Concepts, at the time. He merged with Howard Dayton later on and called it Crown Financial Ministries. Anyway, we got going on that, and then we decided, you know what, we have a limited means to work with, but this is going to become a really fun game. And as we had success figuring out how to stretch those pennies until they begged for mercy, it did become a really fun game.
And some of the things that happened were just amazing. Like, we decided we wanted to buy a house, and in 3 years on that limited income, we were able to save 15% to put down. We bought that house, had five kids while we were in it, and paid it off in 9 years. We spent $350 a month to feed the family of seven. We paid cash for our cars, and now our kids are pretty much grown. Our youngest is 19 years old, and they've all gone to college, and none of them have taken out loans. So the frugal lifestyle, stewardship, living God's way has really paid huge dividends.
You know, after our previous interview, Steve and Annette, I said to you off the air, I'd love to have you back. What will we talk about? And you said, let's do a show on saving money at the grocery. And my response was, you know, I don't know that that's going to fill an hour. Maybe we should do two topics in the hour. And you both assured me that this topic of saving money at the grocery really could fill more than an hour. And after I read your book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, I'm convinced now, because those kinds of shows tend to focus on clipping coupons, and that's a part of saving money. But you've really changed my attitude about grocery shopping. Americans spent more money weekly at the grocery store back in the 60s than they do now. The all-time high reached an average of $234 in 1966 and 1967, and that was even more so based on inflation. Today we spend an average of $151 each week. All that to say, food consumes a hefty part of a family's budget, and we need ways to reduce our grocery bills besides cutting coupons and shopping the bargains at 10 different stores. So I was surprised in that there really are enough ways to fill an entire book that go beyond cutting coupons, because you guys have fed a family of seven for about $350 a month. A month. Let me just say that again, a month. Because my husband and I, two of us in our family, yesterday, we spent $180.
But you guys aren't unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we've seen and kind of as we've surveyed people when we've spoken, you know, they're spending about $200 a person per month. So if you have four people in your family, you're going to spend $800 to $1,000. And we're doing it for about $70 a person right now. And it can be done without clipping coupons. You know, we aren't into this. We have a saying. We think extreme couponing is extremely dumb, because of the amount of time it takes, and because it almost borders on hoarding.
Yes, glorified hoarding.
And what we want to do is we want to actually feed our family by spending less time and less money doing it. So we're shopping smarter. And what we'll talk about this hour is what you should do before you ever set foot in a grocery store.
Right.
What you should do once you get in the grocery store, and then what you should do when you get home. We just break it down into three areas.
Right. And I'll tell you, Lynn, prices have skyrocketed as far as groceries.
Mm-hmm. Sizes
are getting smaller. Prices are getting larger. And we still have three grown kids at home, two in college. And so with five adults, skyrocketing groceries, we're spending about $370, $380 a month. But that's for five adults. So I think we're still doing pretty good. And like you said, our grocery chapter is maybe 1 out of 20 in that grocery book. So,
coupon chapter.
Yeah, the coupon chapter. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So we're gonna talk this morning about how even if you never had time for a coupon, you could cut your grocery bill in half with today's show.
And that, it's not just the money thing, which is very important. You also talk about saving time, because time is a precious commodity, and reducing the stress. So those three things together really make this conversation, I think, even more worthwhile than it was when we began 7 minutes ago.
That's correct, because if the average person is going to the grocery store 2 to 3 times a week, if we can convince them that they can do it for once a week, not only is that going to save them money, but it's going to save them time, hours of time.
And we also believe that groceries is one of the fastest ways for a family to turn their financial situation around. Because if you're spending $200 per person each month, and you can cut that in half, if you're a family of four, that puts $400 back in your pocket that you can choose to do different things with.
You can trust this couple because they use walkie-talkies at the grocery store. Any couple that walk into a grocery store, each take a cart and head in different directions and keep in touch with walkie-talkies. To me,
it's teamwork.
Great evidence that they know what they're talking about. So let's jump into this. The second chapter of this book is called The Power of the Plan. And Annette, back in 1983, when Steve suggested that you develop a weekly meal plan, you bristled. Yes, but you see it differently these days.
I sure do. My mom, you know, basically had a rotation of 5 to 7 recipes, and I knew she could cook more than that, but she kind of got into a rut. So, you know, Friday was pizza day, and Monday was meatloaf day, and it was that kind of thing, and I wanted more variety. And so Steve challenged me, and I was like, well, Mom never did that. And then I quickly learned, you know what? Maybe some of the things Mom does can be improved upon. And so I started gathering recipes, and now I have probably 100 meals that I can cook.
Now, when we first got married, though, Annette knew how to cook two things. She knew how to scramble eggs and burn water. And that was it. But she took this challenge on and said, you know what, I'm not content where I am. I want to learn. And that's one of the challenges mm-hmm. we give to everybody when we speak at different groups is you're sharpening your saw. You're finding ways to do things better. You're not discontent, but you are aggressively pursuing to learn new skills. And that's what Annette shines at.
And my mom always said, if you can read, you can cook. You just mm-hmm. need to spend some time. And, you know, obviously we don't rotate those 100 meals so that we're never repeating something within a three-month period because there's favorites that everybody has. But I love having that many meals to choose from because there's going to be some we favor in the wintertime and some we favor in the summer.
Right, right.
But the power of the plan starts like this. Most people, when they go to the grocery store, they find the meals they want. They go to the store with, oh, you know, I want to have meatloaf on Tuesday, and we want to do tacos on Wednesday, and we want to have chicken on Thursday. And then they go buy the food. So they find the meals, and then they hope they get some deals. Well, we reverse that whole psychology. What we say is find the deals first, then plan your meals.
Right.
And this is how it works.
Okay. So let me back up a minute and just say the first step is to take stock of what you have in your house
mm-hmm.
and spend a little bit of time reorganizing because there's many times when people are going to the grocery store and they cannot remember if they have something at home or not
mm-hmm.
and they buy it anyway and then they find out when they get it home they have three jars of whatever that is.
Right.
So the first thing is to take stock of what's in your refrigerator, your freezer, your pantry, and you may be pleasantly surprised about what you already have at home. The second thing is to use the weekly food ads. People do not realize that those weekly food ads are like a gold mine. You can look at those things and learn prices and figure out, oh my gosh, this is a great deal on whole chickens or corned beef around St. Patty's
okay,
Day.
We were recently in Indianapolis meeting with a group of people in a group called Circles Out of Poverty, and we gave each person in the group a newspaper ad. And we all went through it together. And that particular week was right before St. Patrick's Day, and there were three things on sale.
There was whole chickens for 88 cents a pound. There was country pork ribs for 99 cents a pound.
And there was corned beef for
$1.29 or something.
Okay. So what we did is we challenged them and said, okay, these three things are on sale this week. Is it possible for you to plan a week's worth of meals around these three items? And they all looked at us like we were speaking a foreign language, but they said, yeah. We could do that. We could do pork chops in the crock pot. We could do corned beef and cabbage. We could do chicken. We could take the chicken leftovers and make chicken salad. You could do different things with it, and you can reconstitute those into five meals for the week.
So even if you don't regularly subscribe to the paper, what we say is whatever day the ads come out in your area, and I know it's different depending on where you live around the country. For us out here in Arizona, it's every Wednesday. We've heard anything from Thursday to Sunday,
depending on Sunday.
Right. So make sure you get the paper the day the ads come out. And then create your strategy. And when I plan my menu, I list the daily events that are going on in our home because I don't want to cook a turkey on the night that we're all running out the door to go do activities. And then I make a shopping list. And we've got a free shopping list that's modifiable on our website at moneysmartfamily.com. And on that shopping list, it takes the mental strain out of trying to remember what you should pick up at the grocery store.
Now, we found shopping lists in the grocery store, so we know what some of your listeners are doing. I mean, we found them on napkins. We found them on torn-off pieces of paper. We found them
on envelopes. And ours is sort of this comprehensive 8.5 by 11 sheet that you basically just check off or write quantities next to.
Right, so what we've done is we've put everything we normally purchase on that list, then we just go down and check off what we need.
And you can have that laminated if you like, and that way you can write on it, wipe it off, and use it every week.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the planning stage. It's looking at what you have. It's looking at what's on sale. And remember that sale items are 30 to 50% off retail price. It's taking those sale items and planning what you're going to eat for the week, and then making a commitment to only go to the store once that week because you plan so well. Now, the first time you do this, It'll take probably an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Well, the very first time I ever planned a menu, I did not have my repertoire of meals yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it literally took me all day to do. But we, you know, when we give our seminars, we talk about five very simple basic meals that you can use, from spaghetti and meatballs, and go ahead and just buy the meatballs. I make my own, but you can easily buy a bag of meatballs and a jar of spaghetti sauce, to tacos, to barbecue chicken in the crock pot, to grilled cheese and tomato soup. There's any number of very easy things that you can pick up at the grocery store. And, you know, if you're eating out 3 and 4 times a week, oh my gosh, for Pete's sakes, make it easy on yourself. Go buy a bag of stir fry at the grocery store and do that.
And that'll save you about 60% over a restaurant bought meal.
Right.
So there are lots of ways to save, but just by spending a little bit of time, and with Annette, you know, it took her all day to plan that first menu. Now she cranks out a month's worth of meals for a menu in about 15 to 20 minutes. So it's like anything. The more you practice it, the more proficient you become at it, and you become excellent. And you can do it in very little time.
Let me review the steps for everyone who's taking notes. And just a reminder that you can listen to this on the archive later on today. And if you've got a smartphone, you can take our app and use that and take WBCL with you wherever you go. Step one, take stock of what you already have. Step two, research and list the sale items. Step number three, list your daily events, which I don't think is in anybody else's how to save money at the grocery plan, but it really makes great sense to have that in there. Step four, select your meals, and then step five, make the shopping list. Annette, how many grocery stores do you shop?
That's a great question. When we do the once-a-month grocery shopping, it's usually 2 or 3 stores. Mm-hmm. And the way it goes is, the first store we go to, we run in and we pick up the loss leaders. So that one takes maybe half an hour, 45 minutes.
And now let me stop you right there for those that don't know. Let me stop you for a second. What's a loss leader for those that don't know?
Oh, great question, Lynn.
At Thanksgiving time, this is a perfect example. Thanksgiving time, turkeys are usually between 50 and 80 cents a pound. Or no, actually, about 30 to 50 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm.
The grocery store, when they buy the turkeys wholesale, they're paying 80 cents a pound. Now, normal price on a turkey is $1.50 to $1.80 a pound. Why are they dropping their price so low? And what they're doing is they're actually paying you to buy the turkey, because they know that when you buy the turkey, you're going to buy other items with it, and they're going to make their profit on the other items. Well, that type of thing happens, maybe not that extremely, all year long. And they'll have items that they drop their price on, and just to entice you to come in the store. Those are called loss leaders. Every store has a few different ones. And so as you go into the stores and pick up those loss leaders, you're saving 50% on the cost of the item, and that's how, when you stock up, or that's how you really cut your grocery bill.
Right.
So back to what you were saying, Annette.
I'm sorry.
You go into one store for loss leaders.
Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the second store we go to, and that's the bulk. That's where we walk the aisles. And at this point, we, like Steve said earlier and you alluded to, we use walkie-talkies. We use the team approach. And Steve does the outer loop, which is the produce, the dairy, the meat. What else is on that outer loop? I think that's basically it. And I do the inner aisles because that's where most of the coupons are. And when we were first starting, I wanted to make this easy for Steve. I didn't want to overwhelm him. And so that's kind of how we set it all up. And now the awesome thing is he's more expert at some of those outer loop things than I am, because he's done it for so long.
And as we're grazing the aisles in the store, we've got our shopping list, but we're also looking for markdown items.
Right.
So these are the things you do when you go into the store.
Right.
And that's what we want to talk about now, because we've talked about what you do before you go in the store. Now we're talking about when you're in the store. The first thing is you've got to make sure you have a secure hold on your shopping list, because you're on a hunt.
Right.
And this is war. Because the grocer has a plan for you, and his plan is not harmonious with your plan, because his plan is that you're going to pick up impulse items to the tune of 60% of the items you put in your cart. He expects you to buy impulse items, so he's putting shelf danglers and shelf interrupters, and he's putting ads on the floor, and he's putting expensive things at eye level, and he's putting end caps up. He wants to get your attention to buy the items he makes more profit on.
Now, did you say 60%, Steve?
Say, The grocery industry is really tough, and the profit margin in the grocery industry is not as large as people think. It's way less than, say, the clothing industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they're trying to do this. I understand their psychology behind this, but if we're going to be the best economizers, we're going to have to shop a little bit more cleverly to do what's best for us. And so what we say is the less you shop, the more you save, and we alluded to that under the planning section.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you need to do is come up with your strategy. Like Steve said, you have your list, and then you're going to start walking the aisles. So let's talk about, for example, buying meat.
Mm-hmm.
And we just helped my sister plan her wedding. I was the wedding coordinator. So I was in the grocery stores a little more than usual because we had to pick different food up. We cooked. Everybody in my family pitched in and cooked all the food for the wedding. So we had to be in the stores a little bit more than normal. And we just stumbled upon this one deal. They had 1 pound chubs of ground beef.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were regularly $4.99 a chub because they had some seasonings mixed in with them. Well, I guess they didn't go over real well because they dropped the price to 99 cents a chub.
A chub is a tube of ground beef, and these were 1 pound
yes.
cylinders, and they were 85.15 lean. 99 cents a pound was a phenomenal stock up price. We grabbed as many as we could, and we put them in the cart, and we go to the checkout, and the guy who's checking us out goes, "What was the price on these?" Oh, boy, no wonder you were buying so many of them.
He's like, "Are there more back there?" And we're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I got to get back there and get some of those."
So this the strategy here is, as you're walking the aisles, because you know your prices, because you've been tracking things as you've planned your monthly and weekly menus and looked at the ads, when you see a buy price, you stock up. Because now that sale item that we bought about 30 chubs of ground beef, 30 pounds of it, and people can go to our Facebook page and see the pictures of it. It's an amazing find. That's going to feed our family at that discounted price for several months.
Right.
I've been taking notes.
And at Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been taking notes as the two of you have been talking. Let me ask you a couple of clarifying points, but also to jump in and say it's 10:22, you're listening to Mid-Morning. And the wisdom you're hearing is from Steve and Annette Economides. They're known as America's Cheapest Family. Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half was their kickoff book that really put them on the map. And they are a family that knows of that of which they speak. We are giving away one copy of the book. Head to WBCL.org, click on Programs, and then Mid-Morning to register to win one copy. I wish we had many more than that, because this is not your typical how to save money at the grocery book. It tells you to do what before you get to the grocery store, what you're to do at the grocery store, what you do when you get home for packaging and storing, because that is key. You can get a great bargain on 30 pounds of ground beef, but if you don't have a place to store it and if you don't know how to package it properly, you're going to lose that meat and you've not saved yourself anything. That information is in their book and that information is on their website. It is now about 10:23. WBCL is on the air today thanks to the giving of friends like you, and a special thanks to Hope Alive Counseling of Defiance, providing pastoral counseling to the people of Northwest Ohio since 1989. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. If you've got a question for Steve and Annette Economides, give us a call, 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. Email is midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Annette, you talked about the markup at a grocery store, which isn't as high as clothing. The markup in clothing is about 300%, so you are paying more for clothes that you buy. And we're not saying that businesses shouldn't make a profit, but you go in with open eyes realizing that they're making a profit, but you can do all that you can to pay the least amount for food for your own family, saving as much as you can that you can spend that money elsewhere. You can save that money. One of the things that Dave Ramsey says is that your best way to build wealth is your own weekly paycheck. And so the less that you're spending on other things, the more that you can be saving in your savings account, but also putting in your 401k, giving to other ministries. And so this is just a wise use of money. Steve, you mentioned, let me make sure I got that percentage right. Did you say that 60% of what we put in our shopping carts is an impulse buy?
That was a survey that we quoted in the book. It was one of the most extensive surveys ever done on grocery shopping. I think there were 150,000 purchases that they tracked. It's called Where the Rubber Meets the Road. And overall, you go into the store to pick up 10 items, you're going to put 16 in your cart. If you pick up 100 items, you're going to put 160 in your cart. It can really get out of control.
Sure.
We had one writer or one reader of our book write in and say, here's how I deal with the impulse buys. I put the hand carry cart in the seat of the grocery cart, and I have my shopping list, and anything that's not on my shopping list that I pick up, I put in the hand carry cart. And that way I have a very good visual of what I'm picking up as impulse buys, and it helps me evaluate what I really want to buy. It's a simple strategy that really works.
Very much so. And Dad, I want to come back to you and ask you a question about ad matches, because we see commercials for that. You really like ad matches. They save you quite a bit of money.
You know, Lynn, there are times when I just can't do the coupon thing. We're too busy. And so the thing I love about ad matches, you take all your grocery ads and you circle and make a list of all the loss leaders that we just talked about.
Here's what Annette does. This is a real simple strategy. She lists all of the stores that she has ads for and on a piece of notebook paper and leaves about 6 or 7 lines in between each store. Then she goes through and circles the loss leaders, the lowest price items on each ad, and then writes each one down underneath the store's name.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that at Kroger we have so many items, at Albertsons we have so many items. We have the stores broken up on the piece of paper.
Right. And then we take that list and we go to Walmart. And then we shop Walmart for what we need, price matching as we go, depending on how much stuff there is. Sometimes we'll actually drag 2 carts, will put all the non-price match items in one cart and all the price match items in another, and we try to be as organized as possible going through the checkout, and the checkers always really appreciate the effort that
now,
we put in.
I'll give you 2 examples of how powerful this is. Good Morning America gave us $100 to go grocery shopping, and we did ad match at Walmart. And we don't like the plastic bags. They aren't very helpful when you're shopping. We filled 14 paper sacks full of groceries and used 1 coupon and came in at $100. Another time we were checking out at Walmart, we had 4 carts of groceries. There was a person in front of us checking out with 1 cart of groceries. They spent $260-something. And we came in with 4 carts and spent
$276.
So it really does save you a lot of money, and it saves you time. So if you're a working mom who doesn't have time to go around to several stores, you don't have time to clip coupons, the simplest, fastest way for you to cut your grocery bill way down is to do an ad match thing where you go to one store and you get the loss leaders from every store. And we go so far as to look up stores on their websites, because we don't always get all the ads in our paper, in our newspaper.
We're going to the phones and talk.
That we just grab the ads off the internet, and it really helps us save.
Right, and Lynn, you alluded to all the different kinds of chapters we have in that book, and one of them is tools. And in the tools chapter, we talk about the benefits of owning a freezer. And you mentioned earlier that if you find all these things and you want to buy in quantity, but you don't have a place to put them, you know, you're sort of out of luck. You can't capture that savings. And what we say is a freezer is one of the most powerful tools that can make you money, because you can put all that stuff away when you find it. You know, at Thanksgiving we'll put extra turkeys in the freezer. At Christmas we'll put extra hams in the freezer.
Every holiday has meat.
Yes.
Something that's on sale that you stock up on.
In the summertime we'll put away hot dogs and ribs. And it was so cool. Last year we were eating ribs like in January.
That we picked up at 4th of July for 99 cents a pound.
It was amazing. And so, you know, and we're not just meat eaters. I mean, there's times we have vegetarian dishes as well, and there's a lot you can do for vegetarian dishes with beans.
For instance, we stock up on cheese.
Mm-hmm.
We have a store that sells 5-pound bags of cheese for about
$2.50 a pound.
$2.50 a pound. And did you know you can freeze cheese, Lynn?
I didn't know that you could freeze cheese or milk, and you all freeze milk.
Yes, absolutely.
Pour a little bit off the top, put the milk in the bottom of the freezer. We even give a diagram in the book of how we stock our freezer.
Right, and the milk is going to look different when it's frozen. It looks yellowed.
We had one person say the milk went bad. It turned yellow. We said, no, the milk turns yellow when it freezes. Just leave it in your sink or put it in the microwave to defrost it, and it'll be just fine.
Yep, and we've done that for years. What a lifesaver.
Now, cheese, if you freeze bulk cheese, chunks of cheese, it will crumble when you cut it and when it's defrosted. But we had somebody from, I think it was Denmark, write us and say you can re-jellify or reconstitute the cheese by leaving it on a dish on your counter and covering it with a wet cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And just leave it at room temperature for a few hours and it'll re-gel. And that was an amazing thing, and we've done it and it worked.
But most of the time we do use shredded cheese,
mm-hmm.
and that's super easy because, like Steve said, we buy it in the 5-pound bags, we put it into smaller plastic containers, and we freeze it.
So the freezer really does pay for itself because you're basically able to capture a sale price and keep that eating that sale price food for months at a time.
Forgive me for jumping in because you all just are sharing so much helpful information. One of the things that you mentioned, Steve, is that you give a diagram in the book for the freezer, and you all organize your freezer by using paper bags as opposed to using wire baskets. You found that you could get more in and get it more organized. And so would one of you explain very quickly what that looks like? And then I want to ask you about phone apps, if you use them, and then we'll head to the phones and talk to Jeannie and Annie.
Okay.
What we do is try and stay as organized as we can. It doesn't always look as neat as the diagram. But basically, what we'll do is we'll put all of our beef products in one bag. So when we're looking for beef, we pull out the beef bag. We've got a bag for bread. We've got a bag for lunch meat, butter and margarine. Frozen vegetables go in. Probably have two or three bags of frozen vegetables. Then we have cheese. So we keep it divided up by category.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put pork in another bag. It makes it really simple. Then we stack the bags on top of each other.
And you can stack them too high and too wide. We've got a gigantic chest freezer. And it's so, because I'm short, if I had to reach down to the bottom, I could easily fall in. So having the grocery stacks means that if I have to get to the bottom, I lift out the top grocery sack, and then I reach for the bottom grocery sack and pull it up, and I can get what I need without falling in the freezer.
That's not the only way to organize it. We had somebody write in and said they use plastic bins in
right.
their freezer. But the point is, we try to organize it so that we don't keep the freezer open as long as very long, and
mm-hmm.
we're able to get the things we need and use them, because the whole goal is we want to store them, be able to find them, and use them. You don't want to have
right.
stuff in there for 10 years that you forgot about.
And it's totally worth it to sacrifice some storage space for either plastic bins or
mm-hmm.
or paper bags so that you can access everything
right.
that's in there, and it's not just this massive pile of stuff.
Now, if you don't have room for a chest freezer, an upright freezer is good. And we also, in the book, we tell you how to buy used appliances smarter.
Yes.
And there's a website
and
we tell you to. It's called Appliance 411, where you can put in a manufacturer's code and find out when the unit was made. But we give you a whole bunch of tips on buying used appliances. Just remember that upright freezers are usually frost-free, and those tend to dry out the items because they have a fan running continuously to keep the frost
right.
from building up. That can cut down the storage time of your meats, because if you don't wrap them totally so that there's no air getting into them, they'll dry out.
But we talk about all of that. We talk about what you can freeze. In the book, we have a whole chapter on freezing and
storing
and to make things last longer. There's just so much in the book.
But we're still in the grocery store, Lynn. So do you
right.
want to do that, or do you want to take some calls?
I'll tell you what, let's take some calls, but I want to jump in and ask you quickly about phone apps, and then we'll go to the callers, and then we'll get back to the grocery store. Because there's a brand new app out that I came across called Snip Snap. Are you all familiar with that?
Not familiar with that one. The only app we use is called Keyring, where you can put all your loyalty cards on your phone.
Okay.
You don't have to go fumbling for them when you check out.
Oh, excellent. It's called Keyring?
Keyring.
Very good. Well, SnipSnap is a new app. I can't use it on my phone because my iPhone's only an iPhone 4, and it doesn't support it with the operating system needed. You need the 4.1 or above. But I love the idea of this. It's the first app to scan, save, and redeem printed coupons on your phone. So you just scan them. They're on your phone. It'll offer you an in-store reminder that you have a coupon. It will work for any coupon. It also gives you expiration date alerts. It really is quite practical because that way you've got all of the ones that you're going through the ads for. You can snap whatever you want, and now it's on your phone. It's called SnipSnap, and you might want to check that out. So let's head to the phones now and talk with Jeannie, who's calling us from Grover Hill. Jeannie, you are on the air with Steve and Annette Economides and Lynn. Do you have a question or a tip?
I just want to tell what I like to do.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is the ads. The most important thing is know what's in there. So I read all of them, circle what's in there that I might consider. And if it'd be like $5, 3 for $5, I would put $166 so I know what, if I buy one is. And I actually read them like a book. I spend a lot of time reading the ads. Then I write down what I'm going to buy. But when I write it, I use a lot of space in between each item. I know what it's going to cost, so when it's ringing up, I watch to make sure it's ringing up the right price. And when I'm in the store, I tell older people how to write their list big so they can find it easier. But I do not know how people shop in a store with an ad not knowing what they're going to buy because there's no way I could do it. But the biggest thing is knowing what's available, knowing what the prices are, and taking time to do it because that's how you save a lot of money.
Jeannie, thank you so much for calling us.
And I want to know the name of their book and their names again.
Sure.
Good job.
Jeannie, the book is called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. It's written by our guests of the morning, Steve and Annette Economides. Their name is spelled ECONOMIDES. And their website is MoneySmartFamily.com.
MoneySmart. I really enjoy what they're saying.
Good. And Jeannie, I'll tell you what. Head to WBCL's website because we're giving away one copy of Steve and Annette's book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. So go to WBCL.org, click on programs, and then mid-morning, and you have until 11 o'clock to register.
Okay. What is the second name, Steve? Annette?
Annette, the Musketeer.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Steve, you don't always get the break in price if you don't buy the full amount. Is that correct? So if you've got $3 for $5, if you only buy one, you may not get that break in price. Is that correct?
It depends on the store, Lynn.
Okay.
Some stores will allow you to get a single item and still get the sale price. You have to know how each store calculates their prices.
That's another key tip is make friends with the manager. Go up and ask those questions. Ask them whether they're doubling or tripling coupons and whether there are limits on certain items. Sometimes if there are limits, you know, you can go through the line. If there's two of you, you can check out twice. There are all kinds of strategies, but you want to make friends with the manager. There are some stores that will even take coupons that are expired by a few days. So you've got to talk to the management and do things up front, and you'll save a ton of money. Another thing we do with the manager is if they're out of an item that we're buying, we ask them to substitute the store brand, and usually they say yes.
Oh, excellent. Let's take a phone call from Annie, and then we'll head back into the grocery store. Annie, thanks for calling us from Bryant. What's your question, or do you have a tip for us?
I guess the question is, I spend about $1,200 a month on groceries. We have 13 children at home, plus me and my husband, and I'm asking, am I spending too much? Where can I cut down on my grocery bills?
Well, Annie, first of all, when they're finished answering your question, I'm going to put you on hold and we'll get your mailing address and we'll send you a copy of Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half because you will really benefit from it and we'd love for you to have it. So I'm going to put you on hold now so that you can hear their answer, all right?
Okay.
Thanks. Hang on. Steve or Annette, who wants to take this question?
Yeah, with 13 kids at home, she's got feeding 15 people for $1,200. So she's spending about $80 a month per person. That's pretty good. That's actually really good.
It is.
But probably with a little bit of planning, and I don't know if she has a lot of time, she could cut it somewhat. But I would say enlist the help of your kids.
And really, the food area may not be the area where she needs to save money. It may be a lot of other things that you can save money on, such as your household budget, your car payments, your credit card debt, your utility bills.
And those are all covered in our first book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. We give people tips on how to set up all their finances. But Andy, you're doing a good job. You've got lots of kids to love.
Right.
You can't invest a lot of time in cutting your grocery bill in half. What you can do is try to plan better and see if you can limit your trips to the store to once a week and stock up when things are on sale. That's going to be the easiest thing. And like I said, involve your kids. Your kids, if you have 13 of them, you're going to have some older kids that are able to maybe go in and figure out some coupon deals. And maybe they're going to be able to go run to the store, or they're going to help you cook, or they're going to do some things in the garden. Gardening
right.
can save a lot of money. Planting fruit trees is another great way to save.
Right, and we talk about all that in the grocery book, which Lynn said you're going to be able to get a copy of. And our books are all available at libraries. They're available at bookstores. They're available on our website at moneysmartfamily.com. You can get them pretty much anywhere, but hang in there. You're not doing as badly as you think.
Great encouragement. Thank you, Steve and Annie. I also just want to give an example of just the range of this book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Did you know that you can use frozen bananas as teethers for teething babies? That's in Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. And that breastfeeding mothers, because of the variety of foods that they're eating, their breast milk tastes different, and they're finding that children that are breastfed are sometimes not picky eaters because they are used to the taste or various tastes of food. I just found that incredibly interesting. And who'd have thunk you'd have found that and Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, but you do. So now we're going to head back into the grocery store with Steve and Annette Economides. What else do we know about actually navigating that grocery store?
Okay, there's two areas where people can save a lot of money. And these are actually Steve's areas, so I'm gonna hand it off to him. But the first thing, I'll chime in a little bit, is there's three ways to save on produce at the grocery store. I'll start with the first one, which is buy what is in season. I'm not saying exclusively eat what's in season, but when things are in season, you should incorporate more of those into your menu plan. For example, right now, it's springtime, and you're going to find lots of asparagus, strawberries, artichokes. So this is the time of year to make that strawberry pie, to put strawberry in your Jell-O, to have strawberries on your salad.
Okay, now you want to buy those strawberries, but you want to be smart, because if you buy 5 pounds of strawberries and half of them go moldy, it's not worth buying. So what we do is we buy the strawberries, and I sit while we're watching television sometimes at night, and I'll cut the strawberries in half, put them on a cookie sheet, stick them in the freezer. When they're frozen the next morning, I put them into Ziploc bags. And we have frozen strawberries that don't go bad, and they only cost us about 89 to 99 cents a pound versus buying the frozen ones in the store that cost about $3 or $4 a pound. So you want to store the fruit, but buy the fruit that's in season. The second thing is buy bagged produce versus loose produce. Oh,
wait.
Just one more thing.
What I want to share about the in-season produce is, let's just briefly go around the calendar, and summertime is the time when melons and stone fruits such as peaches, plums, nectarines, they're all on sale. In the fall is when you'll find apples and peppers and onions. Grapes are on sale in the fall. In the wintertime is mostly citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, even right now, pineapple's on sale, too.
Yep.
So there's lots of things. Right. Know what's on sale at which season and just enjoy the fruit.
Okay. Now, what we did in the book is we took and we weighed about 240 pounds of produce one day and calculated the difference in cost between buying those apples loose and buying them in the bag. And it depends on the time of year, it depends on the sales, but we found that you could save up to 50% on the price of produce by buying the bagged produce, pre-priced bagged produce. In other words, they're not sold by the pound, it's sold by the unit. And so that happens with potatoes, onions, apples, some citrus. Am I missing anything? I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now, another strategy is when you do buy pre-bagged produce that's sold by the unit, weigh the produce. A pound of carrots will not have a pound of carrots in it. A pound bag of carrots will not have a pound. Sometimes it will have 25% more, because by law, the Department of Weights and Measures in each state says that the produce manufacturers have to put at least the weight advertised on the package, in the package. So most manufacturers will put a little bit more. The smaller the package, the greater the overage is going to be.
I mean, I know this is ridiculous, but we're black belts in this right now. So we're saying don't start with this, but for us it's a game now, and we're always fine-tuning our skills. So I'll even weigh heads of lettuce.
This is funny, Lynn. Green leaf lettuce has more chlorophyll in it. It's healthier for you,
yes.
More iron in it. But a head of green lettuce, a leaf lettuce, weighs about 1 pound. A head of
Head lettuce.
Head lettuce, iceberg lettuce, weighs about 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So when the prices are the same, leaf lettuce is twice as expensive.
And we don't want to sacrifice the better nutrition. So sometimes what we'll do is we'll buy 2 or 3 heads of leaf lettuce and 1 head of iceberg.
Yes.
Depends on what we're using it for. We are big salad eaters at our house.
So what's the last strategy? I think that covered all
that
three.
That was it.
All three strategies.
Produce in season, produce by the bag, and then weighing certain kinds of produce.
Okay, but let's jump to lunch meat because everybody likes to make lunches. And there are 3 ways to buy lunch meat. One is to go to the deli counter and pay up to $9 a pound. Well, you could probably pay $15
for them to slice it, right?
So you go to the deli counter and pay about $8 or $9 a pound. You can go to the Wal Deli and buy the prepackaged lunch meat, and that will cost you about $5 or $6 a pound.
And that's Oscar Mayer and Farmer John,
Hillshire Farm, all these prepackaged ones. Or you can go over to the meat department and you can find a chunk or a chub is what they call it of turkey ham. Chicken breast, sometimes even roast beef, and that price will be somewhere between $1.50 and $3 or $4 a pound. You can save a considerable amount, more than 50%, by buying your lunch meat in the meat department and having the meat department slice it for you, or buying a meat slicer and slicing it home. We have a YouTube video up where we actually bought a shank ham for I think 79 cents a pound, and we cut it up and sliced it on our meat slicer, and people can see what the cost was by going to our YouTube channel.
The deli, if the meat butcher department doesn't have the capability to slice up the meat, a lot of times the deli department will do it for you. Also, just ask them to put the ends in, because a lot of times they throw the ends away, and you can easily chop the ends up and put that in scrambled eggs or something like that.
And Annette, do you grind your own meat? You talk about grinding hamburger, making hamburger.
We do, like I said, we found that deal on ground beef that we stuck in the freezer, but this was, you know, several years back when you could pick up round steak and chuck roast for $1.29 a pound, and we would bring it home, and I have an attachment on my KitchenAid mixer, and the kids were much younger, and they'd all fight over who got to work the grinder that morning.
But the key there is that ground beef that you grind by hand, you can control the fat content.
Yes.
Right.
So we're getting... when we buy our meat on sale for $1 or even $2 a pound, we're grinding it and we're getting 95%
lean
ground beef. And that tells me to put the fat back in because sometimes I make it too lean and it goes a little gamey.
Right.
You want to keep some fat in there, and you're getting $6 or $7 a pound ground beef for $1 or $2 a pound.
Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Jody and Sharon. I do want to mention, I was at the grocery yesterday, and you guys mentioned artichokes being in season. Normally, they're $2.99 a piece. They were 99 cents a piece yesterday, and I've never prepared an artichoke to eat it. I buy them in jars and use them in salads. But what I do like to do is to bring them home and put them on my kitchen counter because they're really pretty, and then let them dry out, and I use them for decorating in my living room.
Uh-huh.
Because if you buy one dried artichoke in some sort of like boutique or home accessories place, you might spend $3 to $5 just for one. So yesterday I bought a couple of artichokes, like I said, because they're so gorgeous, and they're sitting on my kitchen counter, and they cost me 99 cents a piece, and I was quite happy about that.
Yay!
Yay! Not to eat, but to use as a home accessory. You never know what you're going to find at the grocery store.
Let's head
to the phones and talk with Jody, who's calling us from Hamler, Ohio. Jody, good morning. You're listening to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford, and you're talking this morning with Steve and Annette Economides. Their book is called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Do you have a question or a tip?
I have a question.
All right, go ahead.
My husband and I are new to budgeting. While we have always looked for the deals in the grocery store, we've always used the store brand products, we're just new to budgeting. So let's say I have my budget set up, how much I can spend on my groceries this week, and I go to the grocery store and I find a deal just like you did where the ground beef is 99 cents a pound. And so I will buy $30 or $40 of it. Now I'm talking only an extreme deal, you know, when I consider doing that. Then I've just thrown my budget off, and, you know, that ground beef, maybe I'll use 2 pounds of it next week and 2 pounds of it the next week. So I'm stretching it over a long period of time, but I've blown my budget for this week. So how do I make up for that in my budget?
Jody, that is a great question. I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your mailing address because we're going to send you a copy of this book, too.
Oh, bless your heart.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So hang on and listen to their answer, and then Cheryl will pick up and get your mailing address, all right?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hang on, Jody. Steve and Annette, she's asking a really practical question.
She is. And really, we have a budgeting system, too. And there are weeks when we spend more and months when we spend less.
Mm-hmm.
And it all evens out. It's an average. So
right. But if she's doing cash in her envelopes, what she's got to do is if she's spending, let's just pick a dollar amount, say $200 a week. If that's what her budget is, then she has to, in most weeks, only spend $150 or $160 and leave some excess in there for the stock-up times. And that'll happen around each holiday when something is really on sale. You can't, in other words, you can't spend everything mm-hmm. and then leave yourself
but
short for the next
even month. if she spent $180 or $190 mm-hmm. and she accrued $10 a week extra for the
right.
stock-up items, that's what she would really need to do.
Excellent. Let's head back to the phones and talk with Sharon, who's calling us from Wabash. Sharon, good morning. Thanks for taking the time to dial in. Question or tip this morning?
Oh, a few comments. I'm going
right.
to turn it off. Okay, there. I had the radio on while I was listening. Okay, first of all, and you may have said this when I was calling in, so excuse me if I'm repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere in a magazine several years ago that, you know, when you do a head of lettuce or a head of cauliflower, my mom always said, you know, put one in each hand and which one seems heavier. Well, you can weigh those, and maybe you said that, you know, to find out. And it's amazing, especially with the heads of cauliflower,
yes.
how much difference there is. Did you already say that?
They mentioned that, but thanks for reiterating, because
oh,
we have people.
Gosh,
but
I'm so sorry.
Jody,
also,
Jody, that's okay, because people listen in and out throughout the hour. So for those who missed
okay.
it the first time, they're catching it.
Well, I thought it was one, and it just amazed me that, you know, you could tell when you weighed it with your hands, but when you actually put on the scales,
sure.
it's amazing the difference between a headache, and they're priced, you know, per unit. Okay. Also, at our local Kroger's, and I assume that's the way it is everywhere, they have a wonderful markdown of bread items and stuff. And then, like last week, for example, the lemonade, when it's past or when it's close to that,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of their products, even on the regular shelves, like I got a thing, a half gallon of lemonade for 50 cents.
Yes.
And it was,
there you go.
I mean, a little past due, but, you know, it was fine. It's just fine. So, you know, you can find it within and then at specified things as well. And you probably
Excellent.
Said all that. Also in the summer, I do spend a little bit more probably, but I go to our local farmer's market, which is just wonderful.
Yes.
And I like to patronize. You're doing a little bit of both, but it's fresher. You know, this stuff's not on it. So I suppose I pay more, but I think in the long run, probably that helps.
But Sharon, also you're not paying for the gas to get it there, which you are paying for food that's being hauled across the country. So I think
well,
it sort of shakes down, and it also supports your local farmers. And
yep.
there's a lot of benefit in that.
Right, and you learn something. You know,
yes.
if you get to talking to them, they tell you how they fix things and things. So that in and of itself is a
yes,
bargain
indeed.
As well. So, okay, well,
thanks, Sharon.
Just a few random thoughts. I'm
appreciate
sorry.
That. So thanks for calling us.
Yeah, thank you. And this has been very informative. I really appreciate all
oh,
the
information. They have so much more in their books, and the one we're talking about today is Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Thanks for joining us, Sharon.
Yes, I'm going to go to their website, too.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Everyone has about 8 minutes to register to win our copy of Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Go to WBCL.org, click on Programs, and then Mid-Morning, and we'll notify the winner by 4 o'clock today. Let's talk a bit about date codes, if we could. Sharon just mentioned that. And when I met especially the meat department, and I see meat that's being marked down, but the date code is pretty much that day or the next day it's going to be past the expiration date. You feel kind of funny buying that, even if you are going to freeze that, but what's your advice on it?
Date codes are set by the manufacturer. And we have a friend who's a butcher, and we talk about him in the book. And he said in the old days, when the meat would start to turn green, they'd trim the green off and put the meat back out in the meat case. And when it started to turn green the second time, they'd cut the green off, and they'd either cook it or they'd put it into the daily grind for ground beef.
Yikes!
The outside edges of meat will change color. But the date codes are put on by the manufacturer, and it's designed to keep their supply chain full so they have jobs for people. So date codes don't necessarily indicate the condition of the meat. So look at it. If it looks good, if it smells okay, buy it, freeze it, use it. You'll save a ton of money. There's a store by us that typically marks down their stuff when it's going out of code. The day before it goes out of mm-hmm. code and they cannot legally sell it anymore, they mark it down 50%. And so that's when we scoop up deals. We do that with lunch meat. We do it with cuts of meat. We always, always, always check the markdown meat.
Right. You can pick up some great, great bargains. And many times people are so paranoid about those expiration dates, Lynn, and things will last far beyond the expiration dates. What we tell people is God gave you five senses. Use those.
Use the senses. Let me ask this, Lynn. Have you ever seen an expiration date on a frozen turkey?
I have not.
They don't put them on there. As a matter of fact, I asked a butcher, what are you going to do with the turkeys that you didn't sell at Thanksgiving? He said, we're going to stick them back in the freezer and we'll sell them. And if they don't sell right away, they'll sell in a few months. They don't go bad. Anything that's vacuum sealed and frozen can last for many years in your freezer. There was a butcher who worked on a Navy ship, and he told us whenever they shipped out for 18 months, they had 2 years worth of turkeys in the hold, and they tasted just as good the second year as they did the first year.
And the way that they've been freezer packed makes a difference. I mean, all the air has been taken out of it. They didn't just put it in a Ziploc bag and squeeze the top and try to press the air out. I mean, the way that it's packaged is what enables it to stay frozen for a long time.
So bacteria requires air and moisture to grow. If you have neither in there because it's frozen and because there's no air, there'll be no bacteria.
Let me ask you a quick...
Even the vacuum seal, even the home vacuum seal kits that people use, they work. They really do work to extend the life of items in your freezer.
What do you do if your budget is limited, your pantry is bare, and the sales are uninspiring?
Well, it depends on what state you're in financially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, if you're in dire needs and you're on the verge of your utility bills being shut off, what we say is go to a food bank. You know, they're there, they're in every city, and they can help you so that you're not in an emergency situation where you're trying to figure out, you know, my tummy is hungry and I need food, but I, like I said, my utility bills are being turned off. Life is really miserable right now.
But if you're a regular family and you've been busy and you haven't gone shopping and your pantry is bare, what you're going to have to do is plan some simple meals.
And really, Lynn, we've never ever had a week where nothing was on sale. There's always something on sale in those air fryers. Now, it may not be a gold mine worth, like that week Steve said we were in Indiana when we were talking to that Circles Out of Poverty group. There were 3 different kinds of meat on sale that week. Maybe there's just one, and maybe you do some vegetarian dishes that week. Maybe you make vegetable bean soup.
Or maybe it means that you look at the sales and you go, wow, I don't really like beef liver, but that's what's on sale and I want to stay within my budget. I'm just making this up. I'm going to go get a cookbook and I'm going to find out what recipes I can make with beef liver. And Annette did this one time when she won't touch that. But it was Italian sausage, and she didn't know many things to do with it besides put it in pasta sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But she got out her cookbook and she found a recipe for cheese sausage spinach pie, and that was about 28 years ago, and it's still one of our family favorites. And that came out of a week when there weren't many items on sale, and she didn't know what to do, so she looked up a recipe.
And Lynn, let's remind all the listeners today that the library is chocked full of cookbooks. I mean, our library has, you know, one whole aisle, both sides though, you know, so the aisle is maybe 12 feet long and it's like 6 feet high, and it's all cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there.
And the other thing about the library is free internet. If you don't know how to use a computer, they'll help you do that. And there are a lot of websites that you can go to that you can even put in what you do have available, what meat you have available, what vegetables you have available, what starch you have available, and they'll bring up recipes using those particular items. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more phone call, and that would be Vicki from Fort Wayne. Vicki, do you have a question or a tip?
I have a tip.
All right.
When I am price matching at my local Walmart, I take the tiny little post-it notes.
Yes.
And I write down the price that I'm matching it to. And as I put it in my cart, I pull those post-it notes off of my list and put them on the items. That way, I can be busy unloading my cart or reloading the cart as the items go through the cashier's hands. And they already know what the price match is.
What a great idea.
Very good.
Awesome. It takes a little bit more organization and a little bit more time with the ads, but check out for me goes like a dream.
I bet. And you know, Vicki,
I just tell the cashier up front the price matches are on the post-it notes. They know what they're looking for. I make sure it's legible, and we just roll.
Vicki, that is a great tip, and you know, you don't have to really worry about getting post-it notes at the store, where you can purchase them, but often you can get them free from businesses because it's a great marketing tool for them, and
Exactly.
Great idea. Vicki, thanks so much for calling us.
No problem.
Bye-bye. That brings us to the end of today's Mid-Morning. We've been sharing grocery ideas. Our guests, Steve and Annette Economides, Economides. The book we've been talking about today, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. You can find out more about them, their other books, their resources at their website, moneysmartfamily.com. Steve and Annette, you were right. We can do a whole hour.
We knew you could.
And the last thing we want to say is we have one chapter in the book called The Family Dinner Hour.
Yes.
And we want to encourage families to eat together. And we talk about things we do at the table there. And it's critical for the future of our country. For
Amen.
Families to eat together.
The benefits for your family are amazing. Everything from reducing the risk for drug use and other things. So family dinner important. Stay tuned. Ken is up next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free WBCL.